This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And a very good Sunday morning view. Lots of sunshine today. Really looking beautiful out there. Hope it does warm up.
Me too.
As you said, about 58 degrees.
Yeah.
I am confused this morning. Now, you're talking about a bus crash, but we had a bus crash less than 48 hours ago, which was at, 35th and Capitol.
Yeah.
Now, overnight,
you're
talking about another bus crash?
Yeah, absolutely.
Break this down for me, because I'm confused, and I think a lot of people waking up this morning might be as well, because you don't have that many cars hit that many buses in Milwaukee at all.
It's a strange thing. So Thursday night, we see a car crash involving a bus, a fatal crash on the intersection of Capitol and 35th. Now, Capitol is one of those roads in Milwaukee that has a reputation for being dangerous. A lot of police presence, you know, on that road, trying to make sure people drive safely.
And my understanding was the bus that was hit was, going northbound, I think, on 35th?
Correct, yeah.
And somebody ran through a red light on Capitol.
Yep.
This one overnight was also 35th, but it was on Wisconsin Avenue,
just past Marquette High School, if I remember correctly. Not Marquette University, Marquette High School. And that was 9:30 last night. A lot of injuries, only one fatality. The driver of the vehicle that impacted the bus has been taken into custody.
But in both of these cases, the car that hit the bus had a total of three people in it.
Yeah.
A driver and two passengers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second one last night, was the bus on 35th or was it on Wisconsin?
Wisconsin, I believe.
Okay. So it was going what? Eastbound, westbound?
Westbound.
Westbound on Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Do we know if the car went through a red light on 35th?
The car, yes, went through a red light, I believe so.
When it hit the bus.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So again, this goes back to the whole unsafe driver's situation in the city, where people either aren't paying attention, don't care, whatever, going through red lights.
Mm-hmm.
But again,
two buses.
Less than 48 hours.
Two buses, both fatal incidents. Scary.
But in both cases, the cars that hit the buses did do so well.
Yeah.
I mean, you hit a bus.
If you're out there and you're driving, please be careful.
Yeah.
Please be careful.
All right. You got your eye on that one. We'll be talking about that as the morning goes on. And a lot of other things as well. As a matter of fact, Dawn Helmrich, who is the founder of Denim Day, she's going to join us. Also, this is a fascinating story. I talked with a Washington Post reporter who's written, really, it's an intriguing piece about how the lack of abortion rights in some states has led to more infants available for adoption for parents who otherwise wouldn't be able to have children. Just a really interesting story. You'll want to hear that. Also, our consumer expert, Michelle Reinen, is going to be joining us. She has a warning about scammers impersonating utility company workers, and that's particularly in Milwaukee. Also, do you know it's Earth Day?
Yeah, I love Earth Day.
You're not wearing green.
I know. I had to get ready quick this morning. My alarm goes off at 5 o'clock in the morning. But, there's lots of red in the world. I'm here for the Red Wing Forest in California.
Ooh,
we love
Earth Day. Those redwoods.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, anyway, since it's Earth Day, we've got a very special WTMJ Conversations. I had the opportunity to talk with a local businessman who's not only established a very successful green business right here in Milwaukee. But in his career in the past, he helped put together those early Earth Day concerts. I mean, we're talking about like in the early 90s, late 80s. They were in Washington on the Mall. They were in Hollywood at the Hollywood Bowl. He put these together. And he worked with musicians like Paul McCartney and James Taylor and just a bunch of other names and managed to talk them all into doing these concerts for free just to bring awareness to saving the planet. So that's on conversations today.
We'll and talk, you want to stick around for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning also. WTMJ's Eric Bilston is going to recognize an everyday hero, Mark Cass. It's his last interview with us for the Milwaukee Business Journal this morning, and he's going to talk about the biggest story he covered in his 20 years as editor. Also, Matt Miller is here. He's been going to all the films at the Milwaukee Film Festival, and he's going to share which of those movies had the best audience reaction. We're also going to take a look back at the week in review. Isaac, of course, is here pushing buttons. Jack Rouse in the newsroom, and he's also in the sports desk, and we're going to hear from him in just a couple of minutes right here on WTMJ, where it's going to be a pretty nice day, sunny. Temperatures getting up to about 58 degrees. And at 8:14, we have 38 at WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all, sports desk. These might be the final games we see the Bucks play until this fall, or not. The Bucks begin round one of the Eastern Conference playoffs against the Indiana Pacers at Fiserv Forum tonight at 6. Giannis Antetokounmpo has been ruled out for tonight's matchup and is questionable for the other games. The Bucks have a 1-4 record against the Pacers this season. A resounding 12-5 victory for the Brewers on Saturday in St. Louis over the Cardinals. It got a little hairy in the second inning with the Cardinals up 4-2, but the crew responded with 3 runs in the 4th inning and 4 in the 6th. Last game of the series will be today at 1:15, with Brewers warm-up starting at noon with Dominic Catronio. The Brewers are currently first in the NL Central. Tough break for the UW-Milwaukee Panthers baseball, taking a 16-8 loss to Wright State on Saturday. Milwaukee's Carson Hansen was a bright light for the Panthers, scoring a run and 3 doubles. The two will match up again today at 1:05 on Franklin Field. The Milwaukee women's tennis team taking a big win over Northern Kentucky State Saturday. They're away today at IUPUI. And in Madison, the Wisconsin softball team won their second game against Penn State with a 17-3 score. The Badgers hit 3 home runs and scored 10 runs in the bottom of the 4th inning. They'll go for the third victory today at 1. I'm Jack Grau, WTMJ Sports.
It is a big day with the Bucks playing today. Did you hear the big pep rally we had here?
Oh, yeah.
At the gosh. I was trying to record an interview at the time.
Oh, how'd that go?
Those drums were loud.
Yeah.
They were really loud.
Nice ambient noise for you there.
Oh, my goodness. But what an exciting day that is right here in Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum. All right, Jack's going to be back with us at 8:30. He's got the headlines. And in just a couple of minutes, we've got Mark Cass. It is his final Sunday morning interview with us from the Milwaukee Business Journal. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's going to be a really nice day today. Sunny, breezy, a high of 58. We might get some pretty big wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Then tonight, mainly clear. Looks like we might get some frost in a few areas. Our low is going to be 39. It should go further inland, a little bit colder than that. Then tomorrow looks like clouds are going to be coming in. It's going to be breezy, but we're going to get all the way up to 65 degrees. On Tuesday, some scattered showers are coming in with a high of 65, and then that temperature begins to drop overnight, because Wednesday, we're only going to get up to 46 degrees under mostly sunny skies. Currently in Richfield, we have 36 degrees. Brookfield's at 37. Greenfield has 37. And it's 39 degrees at WTMJ at 8:22. It's time to check in with Mark Cass. He is the soon-to-not-be editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal. I'm so sad,
wow.
Mark. This is our last time together talking about this.
It is. It kind of makes me sad, but I'm not going away. I'm not retiring. I'm still going to be very active, keeping me around, and hopefully you and I will talk again. I'm sure we will, because I always enjoy so much talking to you that I'm just going to call in then on Sunday mornings and say, Libby, I just want to talk. I'm on my way to play pickleball, and I want to talk to you.
Sounds like a plan, but I got to ask you, you've been at the Business Journal for 20 years. What was the biggest story in all those years as editor?
To me, it was the sale of the Bucks, and the sale in 2014, not only for the sale, but kind of what it led to. Think about it. I mean, it led to a new ownership of the team. It led then to quickly a new arena, which sent everything around the new arena. And then it led in 21 to an NBA championship. So just that one move by Herb Cole selling the team led to all that. And how we got that story, our paper was the first to report on that, is because our offices are located in Herb Cole owns the building. And earlier that morning, we were just noticing that it was very cold in the building. We're like, why is this? So we asked the maintenance guy, and he said, because Herb Cole is hosting an event at noon. We're like, okay, this something's going on here at noon. It must be the new owners are coming in. So actually, one of our editors used his binoculars and actually was looking out the window for the rest of the morning, waiting for them to arrive. And then we saw them drive up. I actually ended up going down into the lobby with our photographer. I met Wes Edens. I met Mark Lazary. Introduced myself, asked him some questions. We got photos of them. We went upstairs. We wrote the story, and it ended up to be a national story all over national news on who these new owners were. And it was just a great day for us. It was a great day for the paper, and it was a great day for the city. Think about this. If the Bucks weren't sold, the Bucks would have left, which means no new arena and no NBA championship. So to me, that was a big story.
Well, probably wouldn't have been an RNC either.
Probably wouldn't be an RNC. There wouldn't be a lot of things more. There wouldn't be all the activity around the arena. Think about that. Think about the trade hotel. All the stuff that happens in that area now that would not have happened if not for that sale of the team.
Well, related to that, I know that the Milwaukee Business Journal hosted an event this week with Visit Milwaukee. Of course, they're unveiling that new brand for the city. How is that going to help drive tourism and get more people in, not just to Milwaukee, but all of southeastern Wisconsin?
You know, really interesting, Libby, because it was an effort over like 3 years where they talked to people. And I didn't realize this, but the last time we actually updated our logo was over 20 years ago. And it was the art museum. Remember when the art museum was unveiled, you have that beautiful thing there. So for them, it was kind of really important to have a new brand as we head into the RNC, as we head into things that are happening in Milwaukee, all things going on. I think it's important just because of the image. We have a real opportunity here over the next year with the RNC and the everything that happens hopefully at the RNC to improve our image nationally. And the thought was, let's not make it about one spot. The Art Museum is a tremendous asset for the region, but we also have the rivers and the lake and we have the food scene. And there's just a lot that's going on in Milwaukee. So for them, it was to update that and improve that. But I also think how it sells Milwaukee, I think our city is hip and cool. And I think that's what the logo tries to show. It tries to show all the neighborhoods of the city. And really, a lot's going to happen over the next couple of years. And to drive more economic impact in the city of all these visitors, we have, I think it's an updated look. So I think we hosted the event. I think it's got a good response. Obviously, everyone has an opinion on the logo. And I've heard almost all good. I have heard some negative, but that's part of it. I think you have to look at the effort there. I mean, it's a 2 to 3 year effort to involve a lot of the community in this, and I think it's going to work long-term for the city.
Well, another thing that always brings more people to town is the Milwaukee World Festival grounds, especially with Summerfest. And they're taking a look at how to increase that usage. Right. What are they talking about?
You know, really, the grounds there is used a lot of the summer, Libby, if you think about it, to the main event, but then all the ethnic events that go on down there. But there's an opportunity there to use the grounds from April through October for the weather. And they added a playground there that's now open all the time on the weekends and gets a lot of use with a lot of help from Northwestern Mutual in terms of the funding for that. So there's an opportunity there to look at more uses. Is there some kind of year-round uses you could do? Personally, Libby, you know what I want there, right? I want outdoor pickleball courts with maybe some food trucks and beer garden. Wouldn't that be nice to, you know, have activity on the lakefront? We have this wonderful lakefront. Why don't we try to use it more? And I think what they're trying to do is just use those grounds more, earn more revenue for it, and make it more accessible to people. So I think you're behind me on this idea of the pickleball courts, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I know
you are. All right, so I got to go negative here because Walmart's closing another store in town.
Walmart nationally, you've seen them kind of constrict a little bit, close stores. We've talked about retail nationally has had some issues over the past couple of years. They were hit very hard, 2021, 22. They've not fully recovered. I think Walmart's trying to figure that out. But obviously, is an impact when you close a store like Walmart, the impact on the neighborhood who use it is obviously big. Obviously, Walmart still has stores in the area, but this is actually the second one in the past year. So not a good trend. Hopefully won't continue. But I think we've just seen this with retail, Libby. It's hard now to be in that industry.
All right. One last question. We started out by talking about your 20 years as editor at the Milwaukee Business Journal. What do you think are the greatest challenges for the business community in Milwaukee as we look at the next 20 years?
I think it's our brand. I think we need to improve our brand, and I think we are, and that's a great focus. But you still get that when you're traveling and you get asked where you're from. You think Milwaukee, they say, is that Chicago? Is that in Illinois? No, so I think our brand has improved a lot. I still think it can, and I think the RNC is really going to help that. I think transportation, and my last editor's note in the paper this week was on the streetcar. And, you know, I've talked about it a lot, but not even just streetcar. I think we need to improve transportation throughout the region to, just to make it easier to travel throughout the region and not have a car. I think, you know, we've seen that work a little bit, but I think the streetcar is part of that. I think more buses, more trains, things like that. And then it's jobs. We have to grow our population. We are not right now. We're pretty flat for actually losing. And, you know, the mayor is huge on this. He wants to grow to 1 million people. I mean, that's a long ways from where we are right now. So I think growth is a huge challenge, and having the people who will move here from other states is really important. But I will say this, in my 20 years, I think we've made a tremendous stride as a business community. I think we're in a much stronger spot now. I think we can do really well. Like, the RNC is going to be a big part of that. I mean, it's been an honor for me to watch that grow, and I'm going to continue here in the community to watch it and hopefully be involved in it. But I still think there's a lot more to do, and there's a lot of good individuals out there like you who are going to watch that and going to ask questions. And really, Libby, I want to end with, I just want to thank you. I want to thank all your listeners. I've always enjoyed this show. I can't tell you how many people hear me on the show and talk about our conversations. So you've been great. You've been wonderful to work with. I just have a hunch you and I will talk again sometime soon.
I have a feeling. I'm not going to let you out of our grasp so easily. Mark Cass, it has always been a pleasure having you here on Sunday mornings.
You be good, and I'll talk to you soon.
It's 8:28, 39 degrees at WTMJ. Welcome back to the second half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. It's 8:37. Coming up, we've got Matt Miller in about 10 minutes, and he's going to tell us which film has gotten the greatest reaction from the audience at the Milwaukee Film Fest. It's been quite a week with a historic trial that began in New York. Caitlin Clark cooks at the podium and also behind the desk. There was a double album, Taylor's version, and more. It's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
All I can do is tell the truth, and the truth is that there's no case. They have no case.
12 jurors have been selected to determine Donald Trump's legal fate in his New York hush money case.
These seasoned, experienced judges are saying, you can go up to this line, you go beyond it, you are going to pay a price.
The whole world is watching this hoax.
A Milwaukee firefighter fighting third-degree burns after a deadly fire on the south side Sunday morning.
I am telling you, we were probably 30 seconds away from talking about planning a firefighter funeral.
You know, squad, if you want to start heading over to Five Guys, we got a report of a motor vehicle stuck with a child in the back seat.
It's Milwaukee's time to shine.
Another 4 years in store for Mayor Johnson.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get to work.
Visit Milwaukee's former logo was the Calatrava from the Milwaukee Art Museum. The new logo, a heart separated by three lines meant to represent the city's heartbeat and vibrant energy.
What's this one?
It's a couple of wavy lines.
There is an elephant in the road.
Only in Butte. The circus elephant got loose.
Elephant walking down the road. Oh my God.
Went for a nice slow walk down Harrison. But man, they move fast when they just walk.
Wow, they really do make a trap remix for everything, huh?
Yeah!
If you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
First off, you ought to try living in a nursing home.
Do you actually believe that Eric Hufte meant that elderly people in nursing homes shouldn't vote?
I just...
Do you actually believe
John,
that?
Please,
yes.
John,
you heard him. You heard him say it yourself.
He meant
the lengths people will go to say, these are his words. They
you
came out of his mouth.
I know anybody would think that, though.
They came out of his mouth, and you say, do I really think he said that? He did say it. You just heard it.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
The Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
The University of Iowa announced that basketball star Caitlin Clark will have her jersey retired and replaced with an apron.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Here to comment is Caitlin Clark.
Since you're such a big fan, I brought you a souvenir. It's an apron signed by me.
Boom. Roasted.
Unlike Che, I support women.
A homicide investigation underway in Milwaukee after a missing woman's body was found on the city's north side.
41-year-old Tamika Stewart was found dead near the intersection of 29th and Ruby.
New human remains discovered along a remote stretch of a tree-lined beach along Lake Michigan.
A torso and arm were found early this morning near Marina Road and 5th Avenue in South Milwaukee by a person walking along the beach.
Now, am I going to come down here and be the next one that's going to find more body parts?
Shante Robinson's mother speaking out as Milwaukee County investigators continue to search for her daughter's remains.
This son of a... took my daughter. I need justice for Sade.
Ron is said to have fired air defense batteries as explosions could be heard near a major air base near Isfahan.
The United States has not been involved in any offensive operations.
Taylor Swift's new album, The Tortured Poets Department, dropped at midnight.
Your wife waters flowers. I wanna kill her.
Whoa,
just take it easy, man.
Swifties, arise.
So in our three big things segment, Jessica, you mentioned you thought you were hearing a drum beat in your headset.
Oh, I knew I was. I just didn't know who exactly was out there. And then all of a sudden, during our report with Derek Dennis, I see somebody coming with a huge drum, just beating it, beating it, beating it. And then there's a parade of people. It's for the Bucks.
Yeah, so there's some sort of Bucks parade happening here at our Third Street Market Hall studios. So people are just cruising around, all decked out in Bucks gear. We'll talk to Bucks president Peter Fagan coming up at 11:37. I did not see him out there.
Unfortunately, completely not blessed with rhythm.
Ain't got rhythm. What a week, eh?
If I were you, I'd be annoyed by me.
Smile.
You don't have a girlfriend.
Pancake special.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
It's 8:41. We have 40 degrees at WTMJ. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, have you gotten one of those calls from a utility company? Is somebody impersonating it? We'll find out. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It looks like we've got some temperatures here getting up to about 58 degrees. Boy, I like that one, huh? It's going to be sunshiny, but tonight we've got a chance for a little bit of frost, so watch out for that. And tomorrow we're going to get up to 65 degrees. It's all right here on in Milwaukee as we're watching those Bucks tonight. And go Bucks. It's right now in Colgate, we've got 37 degrees. Pleasant Prairie's at 39. West Dallas, 39. We have 40 degrees at WTMJ at 8:44. And have you been getting some of those phone calls saying it's a utility company? Well, let's check in with Michelle Reinen, our consumer expert from DATCAP, and find out what's going on.
Well, this is one that a lot of people are talking about, Michelle, and that is these reports that you are getting at DATCAP where scammers are threatening to disconnect consumers' utilities. What are you hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. We are hearing from consumers that they are being contacted by a scammer who looks like they are from their local utility company because of the representation on the caller ID. And then they are mentioning work orders, billing statements, truck numbers, and that a technician's on the way to do a disconnection because of being behind on your payments for your utilities. And in Wisconsin, we do have a winter moratorium on disconnections. So in all honesty, we did predict an increase when April started of these scammers coming to try and confuse consumers as to when that date was, as well as knowing that when that date passes, utility companies could legitimately reach out about an individual who would be behind on their payments. But they're not going to do it by phone, and they're not going to say a truck's on the way in that moment. So please hang up on these scammers.
Now, if a utility company does have to cut your power off, what do they do? What is their procedure?
Yeah, it's a process. So they're going to send you a written notification to let you know. You'll have also received billing statements that indicate that you are behind on your payment. You can make arrangements with them for payments by reaching out directly to that utility company using the phone number on your bill. And then they send you usually a second letter notice. And then there's even a situation where they come to your door and provide you written notification on your door. All of these steps happen before the actual disconnection. And if people need help because they are legitimately behind on their bills, there are different opportunities and assistance available that they should be reaching out to. And one of them is the statewide customer care center. And you can visit that at energyandhousing.wi.gov.
And if you ever have a problem and you're wondering if you're being scammed, let's give that consumer protection hotline.
1-800-422-7128.
It's 8:46. Coming up in 1 minute, Jack Brown Sports on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Offices. One call the That's All Sports Desk. These might be the final games we see the Bucks play until this fall or not. The Bucks begin round one of the Eastern Conference playoffs against the Indiana Pacers at Pfizer Forum tonight at 6.
Giannis Antetokounmpo has been ruled out for tonight's matchup and is questionable for other games. The Bucks have a 1-4 record against the Pacers this season. A resounding 12-5 victory for the Brewers yesterday over the St. Louis Cardinals. Got a little hairy in the second inning with the Cardinals up 4-2. The Crew responded with 3 runs in the 4th and 4 in the 6th. Last game of the series will be today at 1:15 with Brewers warm-up with Dominic Catronio starting at noon. Tough break for UW-Milwaukee Panthers baseball, taking a 16-8 loss to Wright State on Saturday. Milwaukee's Carson Hansen was a bright light for the Panthers, scoring a run and 3 doubles. The two will match up again Sunday at 1:05. In Madison, the Wisconsin softball team won their 2nd game against Penn State with a 17-3 score. The Badgers hit 3 home runs and scored 10 runs in the bottom of the 4th inning. They'll go for a 3rd victory today at 1. I'm Jack Grau, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Jack. It's 8:49 and still ahead. We've got Matt Miller. He's going to tell us what the audience reacted to most at the Milwaukee Film Festival. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
Hey, he's Brady looking good. I must be crazy.
Matt, let's talk about that Milwaukee Film Festival. It has been going on now for several days. It's got a few more left.
Yeah, we still have a lot. We still have at least 3-4 more days of the film festival to go. It's been wonderful so far. It's been so nice watching movies at all these gorgeous neighborhood movie theaters, including The Downer, which is back in action and is incredible to see back and glowing. And I haven't seen a single bad movie yet.
Really?
I've actually seen some of my favorite stuff of the year so far, which, in fairness, it has not been a great year for movies thus far. I assume that will improve as the year goes along. But yeah, just some really great stuff. And just because we're nearing the end of the festival doesn't mean that great stuff is coming to an end. There's still a ton of really interesting stuff still showing these remaining 4 or 5 days.
All right, what do we have to look forward to?
Well, if you're listening to this now on Sunday, you should definitely check out Good One at 12:15 this afternoon over at the Oriental. Really, it's my favorite thing I've seen at the festival so far. Really great coming-of-age story about a girl who goes on a nature walk with her dad and his friend. And just kind of about, you know, growing up and, you know, dealing with your parents not understanding you and kind of the men in your life using up all the oxygen in the room. Really great movie. Really funny. Really smart. Really had a good time with that one. That's one that I definitely would recommend people should seek out. And then the closing night movie on Thursday night, Robot Dreams. This was an Oscar nominee for animated film, a delightful looking animated movie about a lonely dog who buys himself a robot to keep him company, and the two become best friends, and it just looks extremely charming, and like it's going to definitely make me cry at some point as well.
Because all dogs really go out and buy robots with their own dog money.
It's an animated movie.
It's
an animated
movie. I thought for a minute it was real.
Yeah, that would be one well-trained dog. But yeah, you've got that. You've also got Evil Does Not Exist, which is the new movie from the director of the Oscar-nominated Drive My Car from a few years ago. So yeah, there's a bunch of really good stuff. If you're a horror movie fan, there's a bunch of really cool horror movies out, including Late Night with the Devil, which is a horror movie about an 80s, 90s TV show, late night TV show, where they bring on someone who may or may not be possessed, and bad things happen in the process. Just a bunch of really good stuff with a bunch of, for any taste. You know, if you love documentary, you'll love drama, you'll love creepy stuff. If you like dogs being animated, there's something for everyone at the festival, even with just a few days left.
Now, I know you've seen a lot of the films. Is there anything that you've already seen that kind of surprised you that you weren't thinking it was going to be as good as it was?
You know, the thing with the film festival is you kind of walk into every movie not knowing what to expect, I think, is the kind of fun thing. Is, you know, you kind of walk into a lot of these movies and not really sure what you're going to get, because a lot of them, you know, are smaller independent movies. A lot of them just have had good buzz. But, you know, it's kind of fun with the film festival to walk in knowing so little, which is so different from, you know, normally when we go to movies and we feel like we've seen the entire movie in the trailers and the previews and pretty much everything's been spoiled by the time we go to see the movie. And then you see a film festival movie and it's just like everything on screen is really surprising. So honestly, they've all been awesome surprises. The only thing that hasn't been a surprise is that I've seen really good stuff.
What film got the best audience reaction?
I think Selma has been the biggest hit of the film festival so far, and maybe that's the best answer for your question about what surprised me. This is a movie starring 83-year-old June Squibb as a woman who gets phone frauded, gets tricked out of money, and goes on a revenge tour, basically, goes on a quest to get her money back. And this was a movie that kind of sounded like it was going to be a little too twee, a little too quirky. Like Sundance movies can kind of have that reputation of being a little too, you know, pleased with how charming and cute they are. And then I saw the movie and it was super charming and super funny and super clever and snappy and really well made. And the crowds loved it. I think it sold out all of its screenings or at least got dang near close. And one of those was at noon on a Monday, so not exactly, you know, prime time viewing times, generally speaking. I would imagine that when that movie gets its release later this summer, its official theatrical release, that movie's going to come back. And I think if they do it right, it could be a massive hit. Like, I think that movie's super charming, super fun for anybody. Yeah, that movie was a real treat, Selma.
All right, let's move to Top Chef. It was a big week because our own Chef Dan won the elimination challenge.
I know. And I'm not saying that's why I thought this was the best episode of the season so far, but I thought this was the best episode of the season by far. And I was really nervous for this week's episode because I was like, oh, man, if this is another kind of mediocre episode of Top Chef, I think we're going to have to start admitting to ourselves that the season's not that good. And thankfully, that wasn't the case. Thankfully, it was a really good episode with a lot of cooking that really made use of its 75 minutes of screen time, that had really good cooking, but also really tense cooking go wrong. We kind of have a villain in the making now with Laura using up her team's like whole entire budget on a two-part dessert that anyone who watches Top Chef knows never make more than you have to. On a dish, anytime anyone's like, I'm going to make a little extra something to go with my dish, it always is a problem. It never goes right. Never make more than you have to on Top Chef. It will always go wrong.
Well, I know you've been hoping for a villain. So
I've been hoping for personality. You know, I've been waiting for some conflict on the show, waiting for some people to start getting testy at one another and start, the show needs some flavor. And we got some red pepper flake this last episode.
It's Wisconsin Nice.
Well, you know, they don't make a lot of movies about Wisconsin Nice, and there's a reason for that. It's not very dramatically interesting.
Before you go, you've got a Top Chef viewing party going on again this week, too.
We do, yes. Every Wednesday night at Zocalo in Walker's Point, we meet at 8 o'clock to watch the new episode, and then me and my colleague Lori Frederick talk on Facebook Live about it. It's a lot of fun. They've got discount drinks, and obviously you're surrounded by great food since it is a food truck park situation. Definitely come out to Zocalo Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock.
Matt, always great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
It's 8:58, coming up after the news with Jack. He's got some information about more shootings here in Milwaukee. But coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about Denim Day. Do you know what it is? Well, we'll tell you about it. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
Welcome back. A little later on this hour, this fascinating story. I had the opportunity to talk with a Washington Post reporter who did an in-depth piece about how the ban on abortions in many states is leading to more infants being available for adoption, especially for couples that otherwise wouldn't have children. So a really interesting story that's coming up in about a half an hour. Before we do anything else, I want to keep you here for a minute, Jack, because I think the story this morning is about another bus crash
last night.
Now, let me get this straight. So there was the bus crash last night that resulted in a fatality of one of the passengers in the car that hit the bus.
Yeah.
Same thing happened
Thursday night.
And then we go back just a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't there a school bus?
Yeah.
That also was hit by a car. I mean, that's...
Yeah, you are correct about that. That is a true statement.
That's in less than 10 days.
It is.
Three buses.
It is.
And two fatalities in these ones in 48 hours.
Yeah. We've had some statements from, you know, local leaders talking about, you know, the dangers of this. And it's just going to be an interesting thing to see unfold. And, you know, if you're driving out there, be careful. Be safe out there.
I don't know. Do you do this when there's a red light?
Mm-hmm.
And when that light turns green, I always count before I go into the intersection. I'm not kidding you. I'll pause, you know, and sometimes it results in somebody behind me honking their horn.
Yeah.
But especially, you know, in certain areas.
Yeah.
Where you do see a lot of speeding and you see a lot of people going through those lights, not on yellow.
Yeah.
But they go through on the red. I always wait a couple of beats before I will proceed into the intersection.
See, I don't go so far as to say a couple of beats, but I'm looking left, I'm looking right, and then going through the intersection for sure.
I mean, it's a shame that we have to do that, it's a real hazard out there. All right, it's 9:10. You know what Wednesday is?
No, tell me.
It's Denim Day.
What is Denim Day? I've heard of it before, don't know the details.
Well, Mayor Johnson has declared again this Wednesday, April 24th, Denim Day in Milwaukee. And joining us is Dawn Helmerich. She is a survivor who brought Denim Day to Wisconsin. And Dawn, what exactly is the significance of the day?
Denim Day is a day for people to wear jeans in order to support survivors of sexual assault. And really, the point is to raise awareness about victim blaming. This particular day was created because a woman in Italy was raped by her driving instructor, and the case was taken all the way to the Supreme Court, and the judge overturned the case because the girl was wearing tight jeans and had to remove them, and he considered that to be consent. And the women of the Italian parliament were appalled by that, and they all went to the steps of the parliament wearing tight jeans in order to raise awareness. And it kind of trickled down into the United States, first in California, and then into a bunch of different states after that. And I brought it here in Milwaukee about 13 years ago.
And why did you take it upon yourself to bring it here to the city?
I'm a survivor of sexual assault back when I was 21 years old. I was raped, and I experienced quite a bit of victim blaming all the way from the time that the first responders got there, through the court cases, by police officers, by medical professionals, and a lot of unintentional victim blaming by friends and family. And it just felt really important to me that survivors felt like they had a voice, that they were heard, and that they were believed.
Have things changed in the 13 years since you first brought awareness of Denim Day to the city?
A lot, actually. When I remember the first year, there was like three of us that were like on a small committee, and we got a handful of people to come in a room, wear jeans, and talk about their experiences, all the way to last year where we had a large press conference and hundreds of people were there. And, you know, now when I walk in a room and I ask people if they know what Denim Day is, they're like, yeah, that's that jeans thing that supports survivors, where 13 years ago, nobody knew what it was at all. So it really has, I think, raised some good awareness.
Why is it important for survivors to know that they're being heard?
Well, if you look at some of the statistics from the Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network, 97% of perpetrators don't spend a day in jail. And a lot of times the reason that people don't disclose or they don't report is because they're afraid they're not going to be believed. And, you know, sexual assault is one of those crimes that's really difficult to prove. A lot of times it's somebody's word against somebody else. And that's a real struggle. It's just such a stigmatized crime that people just don't want to talk about. So I just think it's really important that individuals, whether they choose to tell their story or they don't, feel like they're being heard.
And what advice would you have for anyone who might be listening who has been a victim yet has not come forward?
You know, advice is a really difficult thing because I think everybody owns their own story differently. But what I would say is that you're not alone. There are people who believe you. There are resources that are available that you can use if you choose, and that, you know, we understand that there's a lot of people out there. 1 in 3 women and 1 in 5 men have been sexually assaulted in their lifetime, and we believe you.
John Helmrich, founder of Denim Day here in Milwaukee. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks a lot, Libby.
And if you go to our WTMJ Conversations page, we have an interview I did with Dawn a while back where she tells her story. And it is a very, very compelling one. So you can go back and you can hear that. It's 9:14. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we have Jack Brown Sports right here on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All sports desk. These 7 might be the final games we see the Bucks play until this fall, or not. The Bucks begin round 1 of the Eastern Conference playoffs against the Indiana Pacers with game 1 at Fiserv Forum tonight at 6. Giannis is questionable for tonight's game and the other games of this series. The Bucks have a 1-4 record against the Pacers this season. A resounding 12-5 victory for the Brewers yesterday over the St. Louis Cardinals got a little hairy in the second inning with the Cardinals up 4-2, but the crew responded with 3 runs in the fourth inning and 4 in the sixth. Last game of the series will be today at 1:15. Brewers warm-up starting with Dominic Catronio at noon. Tough break for UW-Milwaukee Panthers baseball, taking a 16-8 loss to Wright State on Saturday. Milwaukee's Carson Hansen was a bright light for the Panthers, scoring a run and 3 doubles. The two will match up again Sunday at 1:05 on Franklin Field. The Milwaukee women's tennis team taking a big win over Northern Kentucky State Saturday. They're away today at IUPUI. And in Madison, the Wisconsin softball team won their second game against Penn State with a 17-3 score. The Badgers hit 3 home runs and scored 10 runs in the bottom of the fourth inning. They'll go for the 3rd victory today at 1. I'm Jack Grau, WTMJ Sports.
You know what we call IUPUI?
Ooey
in
Pui.
Indiana. Yeah, Ooey Pui.
Ooey Pui. Yeah. Yeah, my sister lives in Indianapolis. Ah. I thought about going to Ooey Pui. Glad I didn't. Nice school, but that's a great nickname for a school. It's just right there.
I want to back up, too. You said it's the last 7 games we're going to see the Bucks.
Possibly. Possibly.
It's a best of 4.
No, it's a best of 7 series.
It is. Well, which would be 4 out of 7.
Yeah, they have to win 4 out of 7,
okay.
Correct.
I'm not good on math. So break that down again. So they have to win 4 games.
They've got to win 4 games. Okay. Yes, they're going to play the first 2 here in Milwaukee. Then they'll go to Indiana, and the score will depend on who can get home court advantage for the last of the series. So, yeah.
Also, they haven't determined where the last 3 games are going to be
played? I don't believe so, but I know that they're playing these first 2 games in Milwaukee, and I'm excited because I got tickets to game 2. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Indiana's a good team. 6 o'clock tip off tonight. Tyrese Halliburton can get it done, but I'm just hoping that, you know, Dame and Bobby Portis and everybody else can get the job done for Milwaukee. Go Bucks.
No, you betcha. All right, it's 9:20. We've got Jack Grau coming back around 9:30. He's got those news headlines for us, and we'll find out if there's more about any of these bus accidents. Boy, oh boy, all over the place. All right, let's see. Coming up next half hour, you know, it is Earth Day. We didn't even talk about that, but it is Earth Day. I did a really interesting conversation with somebody locally who is an entrepreneur who really believes in green products, but he also worked on all of these Earth Day concerts going back to like the 1990s and managed to talk all kinds of big rock stars into playing for free. And we're going to have a little tease of one of the people he talked with. That's all coming up on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It is going to be a really nice sunny day, a little bit breezy, as maybe a little bit more than breezy because we might get some wind gusts. High is 25 miles per hour, but 58 for a high. Then clear tonight, could get some frost in some areas, so you might have to cover those plants if you already started putting them into the ground. We'll get down to about 39 degrees close to the lake, about 36 as you go further inland. Then tomorrow, increasing clouds, breezy, but we'll get up to 65 degrees. On Tuesday, looks like we've got some scattered showers and storms again. 65 early in the day, and then the temperatures begin to drop. Because Wednesday, our high is only going to be 46 under sunny skies. Then Thursday, frost again overnight. Mostly sunny and a high of 52 degrees. Currently, we're looking at temperatures in Mequon. We've got 42 degrees. Looks like Oak Creek's 42. Williams Bay, you've got 39. And we have 41 degrees at WTMJ at 924.
The following is a paid presentation. Advice and opinions expressed during the Sunday Sip are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.
I'm excited to be joined by my friend Katie Ganchert. She is a salesperson with Colette, and she is with us. Katie, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me today, John.
I'm excited to talk to you because I travel exclusively with Colette because they are the best in the business. And we're taking a trip called Magical Christmas Markets, and we have a meeting coming up in a couple of days. But I wanted to talk to you about this itinerary and what makes group travel so special. Let's talk about Magical Christmas Markets. We're going the first week in December. This is a great itinerary. What would you say the highlights are of this itinerary?
I think it's fantastic because of the pacing. So you're going to have 5 nights in Innsbruck, and it's going to give you an opportunity to really have an in-depth exploration of this beautiful countryside at the holiday time, which will make it so magical.
I think it's cool, Katie, because there's a lot of little things involved. It's one of the things I love about traveling with Colette. A train ride to an alpine mountain village, a horse-drawn Christmas sleigh ride. How important is it that on these trips, people really get out and about and they're not just in the city center looking at typical tourist attractions?
You know, Colette does it best. They really build these tours with travelers in mind, exposing you to the local culture, whether it's the people, the culinary scene, just those special little inclusions that make this so special. So I'm really excited for you guys to have some of these different experiences, get off the beaten path, as we say, to uncover this destination at the holiday time.
You know, I love this itinerary and many of the Colette itineraries because I like food, but I'm not a foodie. Like, I don't want to do a whole 10 days where basically every day is a food tour. But this is a great example. This trip, the Magical Christmas Markets, we'll learn how to make and then eat, of course, traditional strudel. We have dinner in the oldest restaurant in Europe. Have you discovered that people are really into food immersion as part of the tour?
We kind of build our tours around food with that history and that culture all blended into one. So whether you're a foodie, whether you're a history buff, you're really going to feel like this tour and any of our tours check those boxes for you. It's great.
I love the timing of this tour too, Katie, because it'll be chilly over there. It'll feel like winter, but we go early enough that we're back in time for people to get ready for Christmas. So you go on this trip, we're back by the 13th. You still have a week and a half to get ready for Christmas and get all settled in. It's really great timing.
You can even do a little bit of Christmas shopping there if you choose.
Yeah, so that's the heart of this too. I wanted to ask you about this because I've never been to the Christmas markets of Europe and we're all familiar with the famous Christmas markets. What's a Christmas market in Europe like?
Honestly, the locals go there to socialize. So you're going to see a lot of locals kind of standing around, drinking, you know, the warm drinks, the Glühwein, and enjoying the snacks and pastries that you can purchase. So it's really fun to see that atmosphere. Meanwhile, you've got all the different, you know, little wooden shacks set up with the handcrafted goods that the artisans have made, and you get to experience their local culture and what makes it so special. So it's neat to just uncover, you know, local things in addition to the culture amongst these Christmas markets.
Colette's Katie Ganchert is with us on the Sunday Sip. I love the itinerary. If you want more information, I've got a beautiful brochure. We've got a free informational meeting coming up that Katie will be at, and I'll be there with lots of beautiful pictures and all that stuff. Send me an email. I'll get you the brochure and information on the meeting. My email is john.mercure@wtmj.com. That's john.mercure. at WTMJ.com. So this is a hot itinerary. It's a great trip. When you look ahead to what 2024 and 25 look like, what are some of the hot spots, Katie, that people are excited about seeing in the world?
International travel is really just exploding. Not to mention, you know, Europe's always hot. Italy, Iceland, Ireland, the three I's, as we call them. Portugal's a little hidden gem kind of off that beaten path. But also some of the exotic destinations, you know, Southeast Asia, Japan. We're seeing so many travelers wanting to get out and about and kind of break beyond those norms and experience cultures that they're less familiar with.
That's a great way to put it. I agree with you. And Colette travels to all seven continents, by the way. It's incredible, the catalog of different places. I always tell people the advantage of group travel is that you get to be with other people. All the details are taken care of. You get to and from the hotel. A lot of the restaurants are picked out for you. But there's also built-in free time, so you can do your own thing in Rome, or you can take that tour that you want to New Zealand. How important is it, Katie, to have the combination in a group tour of guided things and free time?
It's priceless, in my opinion. Time is one of our most valuable assets. And for the fact that you don't have to spend a ton of time doing all the research to set up everything, you can trust that the experts, Colette, have put together this itinerary with you in mind, staying at the best hotels, including the iconic sites and the experiences, but still providing you those pockets of free time, because we know that you're curious and you want to get out and explore and spend some time doing what you want to do. So it's a really nice mix, a good blend to allow you to really maximize this opportunity.
That's the perfect way to put it. It's really, really the way to do it. This trip, Magical Christmas Markets, top-tier hotels, the Five Nights in Innsbruck, one night in Munich where they have a fantastic Christmas market. We're going to get you there all together. Hot chocolate, mulled wine, great food, and lots of Christmas shopping. If you want more information, send me an email, john.mercure@wtmj.com. That's john.mercure@wtmj.com. I'll get you all the information, a brochure, and information on our meeting. Katie Ganchert is with Colette. Katie, it's so fun to catch up with you. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Appreciate it, John.
It's 9:30, a couple minutes away from Jack Grau in the newsroom. Welcome back to the final half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. It's 9:38.
In a powerful story published in the Washington Post, reporter Amber Ferguson writes about Evelyn and Carolyn, two women whose lives unexpectedly intersect. Amber, why did you write this story?
Yeah, in 2022, I wrote a story about the shortage of Black sperm donors. Less than 3% of sperm donors are Black. And after I wrote that story, I got an email from Carolyn Whiteman, who told me that she couldn't find a Black sperm donor and how she was then on an adoption journey and how difficult it was. And so we kept in touch. And then about a month or two later, she emailed me saying she adopted a baby. And, you know, being a reporter, I asked questions around it. And she told me that the birth mom, Evelyn, tried to seek an abortion a few times. And that's how I got connected with both of the women, and I just started following their story.
Let's back up a little bit. What happened? You said that Evelyn had tried to get abortions but couldn't. Why not?
At the time, this was 2022, beginning of 2022, and Texas had a six-week ban in place on abortions. She unexpectedly got pregnant, basically from a fling. She wasn't in school. She told me she really wasn't doing much with her life, and she went in for an abortion, but she was 6 weeks and 4 days pregnant, so just over that line. And they told her to go to Oklahoma. And so she went to Oklahoma, and she did a medical abortion, or she thought she did a medical abortion, which was the pills. She was like right at that line where it could have been too late, and it failed. And she didn't find out it failed until a couple months later. And so she bought pills online that were coming from India, and they didn't work. She was like way too far along at that point. And then she went to New Mexico for a later term abortion, and she was too far along. So she chose to place her baby for adoption.
And how did she connect with Carolyn, the 44-year-old woman who had wanted to have a child?
So Evelyn is actually adopted herself. But even though she was adopted, she didn't want to have an abortion. And so she used the same adoption agency that her parents used for her, which is Gladney Center for Adoption. And Carolyn was actually denied from a couple adoption agencies because she's single. And Gladney, I think, was like her sixth adoption agency that accepted her. And after Evelyn gave birth, she had five potential families to interview, and she really gravitated towards Carolyn's profile. Carolyn talked about her love of exercising and her goddaughters and just how she would like spoil a child. And she really connected with Carolyn. Evelyn really connected with Carolyn, and she chose her to be the adoptive mom.
I know when you did your research for this story, you spoke with a number of adoption agencies in states that have recently restricted abortion. What did you find out?
So the month that Olivia, which is the baby, was placed for adoption, Gladney, which is centered in Texas, had the most babies placed for adoption in that month than in their history. And so that kind of got me thinking, like, you know, you just kind of do the math of when abortion bans came in place. You kind of do 8, 9, 10 months, and then you kind of see a rise in adoption. So then I just went to states that recently had abortion restrictions or bans, and 8 of them told me, you know, yes, we've definitely seen an increase, and it comes in 2 waves. It comes, the first wave is when the ban first is enacted, and you just get a call from women more inquiring, like, okay, if I am going to try to get an abortion, but if I can't, what is the steps to adoption? So that's the first wave they get. And then the second wave comes 8, 9, 10, 11 months after the ban is in place, where these women are now full term giving birth and placing their baby up for adoption. And what adoption agencies told me is that these women are waiting until they either are right before they give birth or right after they place their baby up for adoption, because they are trying to get an abortion just like Evelyn. And they usually, that's not what they see. You know, a woman usually makes her mind up, you know, in that second trimester beginning that she's going to choose adoption, not when she's already given birth.
For years, we've heard that there are childless couples who want to adopt infants, and there simply haven't been that many available. Do you think that the restrictions that we're seeing a lot of states having on abortions right now, is that going to, in a way, help these childless couples?
I think sometimes when you say consequence, it can mean something negative. But in this case, I don't mean it in a negative way. I do think it is a consequence to abortion restrictions. And my story doesn't say that adoption is an alternative to abortion, because it's not. I don't believe that. But we are seeing just more children being placed for adoption. And it's specifically in states that have abortion bans. So there is a correlation. It is rising. And this is putting more of a strain on adoption agencies, because, you know, they were used to, you know, placing a certain number of children up for adoption a year. And now it's like increasing tenfold. That means more training, more resources are going to placing these babies in loving homes.
It's a fascinating story, Amber. If anybody out there would like to read it and find out more, what do they need to do?
Go to thewashingtonpost.com. It's a deep read story, which means it is kind of long, but you can listen to it. I narrated it. There's also a video we did with both of the women, so you can consume it in multi-dimensional ways. So yes, at thewashingtonpost.com.
Amber Ferguson, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you.
It's 44 degrees at 944 on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call That's All sports desk. Might be the final games we see the Bucks play until this fall or not. The Bucks begin round one of the Eastern Conference playoffs against the Indiana Pacers at Pfizer Forum tonight at 6. Giannis Antetokounmpo doubtful for tonight's matchup and questionable for other games. The Bucks have a 1-4 record against the Pacers this season. A resounding 12-5 victory for the Brewers yesterday over the St. Louis Cardinals got a little hairy in the second inning with the Cardinals up 4-2, but the crew responded with 3 runs in the fourth inning and 4 in the 6th. Last game of the series will be today at 1:15, with Brewers warm-up starting at noon with Dominic Catronio. Tough break for UW Milwaukee Panthers baseball, taking a 16-8 loss to Wright State on Saturday. Milwaukee's Carson Hansen was a bright light for the Panthers, scoring a run and 3 doubles. The two will match up again Sunday at 1:05 on Franklin Field. And the Milwaukee women's tennis team taking a big win over Northern Kentucky State Saturday. They're away today at IUPUI. And in Madison, the Wisconsin softball team won their second game straight against Penn State with a 17-3 score. The Badgers hit 3 home runs and scored 10 runs in the bottom of the fourth inning. They'll go for the third victory today at 1. I'm Jack Grau, WTMJ Sports.
You didn't say it again.
I didn't say what again?
Ooey pooey.
Well, I think that. I think for the news context, IUPUI. Let me try one more. They're away today at Ooey Pooey.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel much better. Right, Jack will be back with News at 10 at 9:49.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Entrepreneur Tom Sellers has not only developed a number of green products produced right here in Milwaukee, but he's also booked and promoted musicians like Paul McCartney for Earth Day concerts. Tom told me how he almost reunited the Beatles. What was Paul McCartney like?
He really does care, and he gave a really, really nice, short and sweet thing from the stage. And so it was challenging, but it was a good experience.
Well, how did Ringo get involved in this now?
Well, I thought, look, if we're going to get Paul McCartney, let's try to see what we can do about getting Ringo and George Harrison.
Ringo did come.
Yes, he did.
And initially you had a yes from George?
Yeah, initially we had a tentative, and then we lost it. I was hopeful at that time, but at the time, it was the highest grossing event at the Hollywood Bowl. It was quite an event.
I was going to say, it would have been huge in the 90s to have Paul and Ringo on the same stage.
Yeah, it was pretty special.
And imagine if he had gotten George there, too. Well, you can listen today at 11 for a special Earth Day WTMJ conversation when I talk with entrepreneur Tom Sellers about his experiences with rock stars and also his passion for creating green products right here in Milwaukee. You'll find it a very interesting interview. It's 9:53. Looks like we're going to get up to about 58 degrees today. That sounds pretty good. And it's going to be sunny and beautiful right now. 45 degrees at WTMJ. And it's time to recognize an everyday hero. Here's WTMJ's Eric Bilstead.
Let's celebrate an everyday hero. So an everyday hero is an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning that they would be saving a life. Today we head to Ohio. Asia Davis was at the Cleveland Monsters minor league hockey game. She was with her four-year-old son, sitting in the seventh row behind the team bench. There's only a few minutes left in the game when the puck goes flying off the ice, over the bench, over the glass, and into the crowd.
Oh my God!
Asia posted video of the incident on TikTok.
Puck comes out of heaven, straight towards my son's head.
The video shows a man sitting next to Asia's son who blocked the puck from hitting the boy.
He kind of had his hand up in front of my son, and I'm like, well, where did it go? And he's like, it's back there. It hit my hand. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Asia spoke to NBC News. Now, pucks are no joke. They're harder than baseballs, and there's been catastrophic incidents in the past, which is why you see nets on both ends of the rink nowadays. Asia says she realized just how serious this situation was when she spotted something in her son's hair.
I noticed he had, like, little white stuff in his hair, and so I brushed it off, and it was ice. So it was a close call. It was a really, really close call.
The hero's name, Andrew Podolak. Andrew tells NBC it's no big deal.
My first instincts was just jump in front of it. I was lucky enough just to reach my hand over in just the right time, and I was able to slap off my hand.
Asia calls him a hero.
You're a really special person, and I just hope that you never go a day in your life without knowing that.
Thank you, Andrew, for being that protector and for being that everyday hero. Everyday Hero is sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care, Azura Memory Care. Eric Bilstead, WTMJ News.
And speaking of heroes, WTMJ's John McCure was on the honor flight yesterday.
115 Milwaukee veterans are back here in town after a day of being celebrated in Washington, D.C. They served in Korea. They served in Vietnam. And today they were in the nation's capital, where one veteran told me that the healing that took place for him at the Vietnam Wall erased a lot of pain and a lot of bad memories that he'd been holding on to for 55-plus years. This is the first of six scheduled flight days for Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. At Milwaukee Mitchell International, John Mercure, WTMJ News.
And if you've ever been on an honor flight or even been at the airport when these brave men and women return home, it's hard not to get emotional. It is just a spectacular experience. And God bless all of them. And thank you, John, for your work that you do with the Honor Flight. Let's see. We're coming up to 9:57, and you may have heard reports of a housing market slump. Brian and David Wickert tell you the whole story behind the headlines. It may not be what you're reading. And it's all on the Accudent Mortgage and Realty Show right after the news with Jack Rau. Here on WTMJ, it is going to be a beautiful day today. You're going to see a lot of sunshine. Those wind gusts are going to be a little bit hefty, maybe up to about 25 miles per hour. Then tonight, and it'll be 58 for a high. Then tonight, clear, but we may have some areas of frost. Tomorrow looks really nice with a high temperature of 65 degrees, but those clouds are going to be coming in, and it looks like we've got some scattered storms coming in on Tuesday. I'm Libby Collins. Thanks for joining us today. Again, right after the news, it's the Accudent Mortgage and Realty Show on WTMJ.